I blame John. And all God's people said. Hey, if you have a Bible today, we're going to begin in, I believe, in John 15. And a good place, yeah. Let me say, it's great to have Stuart here as well. Where's Stuart? Did he just nip out? Okay, I'll say that again in a moment. But visiting from Kansas City. Hey, what we'd like to do in the month of October is talk about abiding in Jesus. Can we do that? And I'm aware I spoke about some of this in August from a slightly different angle, but I actually feel the Lord say, go deeper in it. Come on, think with me for a moment. You know, there are times we need to keep hearing something to actually get our head around it. Is that true? It's certainly true for me. I actually came to this subject at the end of July, and I'll be honest with you, I wrestled with it for a few weeks. I was actually, like, not sure I wanted to eat it. You holy bunch. I was looking at this, and part of me was actually saying, I started reading a bunch of teaching, and if somebody wants some books to read, I can recommend a lot. Reading a lot of the people who were originally part of the Keswick Convention in the UK. I won't have time to go through all the history. Amy Carmichael, Hudson Taylor, Andrew Murray, Hannah Whittle Smith, a lot of people like that. And again, I don't have time to go into that today, but if you ever want to do some really great reading, that is really amazing, passionate, life-changing, world-changing stuff. And I began it's like I felt the Lord wanted me to, reading some of this, looking at it. And again, just speaking for myself, I'd never really heard this taught. Maybe I had, and sometimes we're dull of hearing, but I'd never really heard it laid out and taught. I don't think I still know hardly anybody who's grasped this and who's walking it out. And I got around this teaching, and part of me was saying, God, is this even true? Is it possible that such a life with you is available? Part of me, if I'm honest, got around this teaching that we're going to look at in the next month, and was saying, Lord, I don't know if I'm willing to pay that price. I'm just being honest. Is that okay? Okay. Come on, have you ever found yourself in that place where you say, Lord, I don't know if I want to do that? You're allowed to give feedback. It's fine. Seriously, I actually think it's better that we're honest with God. Jesus spoke about the two sons. His father asked them to do something. The first one is like, no, I'm not doing that. And the second son said yes, but the second son didn't follow through. And the first son changed his mind. And my point is, God, I think God appreciates it more if we actually go, Lord, I don't know if I'm willing to do that. You guys are going to make me work hard today, aren't you? It's the weather. Yeah, I'm going to win. And I came to this teaching, and like I say, part of the teaching I think I want to look at again, I mentioned this briefly in August, but is that God calls us to completely lay down our life before Him. Now again, I'm not being cute. I think some of you here may go like, amen, Graham, I've done that. And I had to actually think that through. Do you know, interesting, I thought about it. There are three times in my life where I think the Lord has asked me to do that. And, you know, the first one probably when I was born again or really young. The second one, in about 1988, I was living in a city called Lyon in France. And Jesus literally, like, appeared to me, told me He loved me. Like, absolutely zapped my life with His love. But he basically gave me one verse. I won't go there, but it's the verse in Luke about the man who finds the pearl in the field and then goes and sells everything he has to buy the field with the pearl in it. And it's like the Lord said, Graham, if you want a relationship with me, this is back in 1988, that satisfies you, I want you to be willing to give up everything for me. And at the time, I was living in this beautiful city. I'm going to be there in October, called Lyon. like, you know, by this river. It looked like, imagine Venice or something like that, you know, 600-year-old buildings. Had a great job, bunch of friends there. Just a wonderful, really cool life I'd made. That. And the Lord said, I want you to give up everything. But his love so impacted me. I was like, yeah, okay. And I gave him my notice the next day, handed in the notice in my apartment. I had no clue where I was going. I was just spending hours with the Lord every day. About 3 weeks later, I got an email from Leah, who I didn't know. And, you know, her church in Paris was experiencing this revival. And I took a train and went up the TGV in France and somehow made it to their church. And then I left everything behind, literally everything. I probably came with one suitcase of clothes, and then somebody gave that away to the poor. And for about 2 years, lived in Leah's parents' church, lived in the office, slept on the floor, a little sleeping bag I'd roll up. And I was so happy to do that because I'd found Jesus. And do you know, sometimes, though, it's actually, there are times it's easier to give everything up when you don't have a lot. And I just literally, I went through a process a few weeks ago of the Lord saying, Graham, would you be okay if I said, give everything you own away? Don't listen to this part. Yes, Lord, you can give Leah's new car away. Do I get a witness? Give every guitar away. Like, I have a great testimony of how I gave my guitar away, and it was so, I fought the Lord for 5 days, but now I have 27 guitars, and you know. But I here's my part. I came to this thing a few weeks ago where the Lord was saying, Graham, if you want to step into this place, there's a price you really need to pay. And I'll be honest, I wasn't like, yeah. I thought about it for about 3 days. Like, am I really willing to do that? Come on, again, track with me in this. I want to go to the scriptures in a moment. But, you know, in heaven, whether we talk about heaven, the New Jerusalem, eternity future, whatever you what label you want to put on that. In heaven, God's will is perfectly done. Would you agree with that statement? I don't know how you look at this theologically. I actually believe in eternity future, New Jerusalem, heaven, whatever you want to call it. I think it would still be possible that we could sin. Like, I think we still have a free will. I don't think God takes away our will, but I think none of us ever will. Because we'll be in perfect communion, like we'll be like Jesus with the Father in that sense, in that perfect place of union and glory with Him. What I want you to see is heaven is the place where God's perfect will gets done, and everybody is ecstatically happy with God's will being done. And whether we like it, and I like it, very soon, all of us are not going to be here. We're going to be in the. Now, live long and prosper. May you live another 100 years, but that's the blink of an eye. Very soon, we're all going to live in a place where God's absolute will is done perfectly in all of our lives. Agreed? Why is it then, right here on the earth, there's a part of us that says, I don't really want that. I still want to be slightly, I love you, Lord, but I want kind of to be in control of my own life. I love you, Lord. I'll obey you, but to hand over completely the steering wheel, to hand over the control, to sign a blank check to you, you might do something really bad with my life. Does that make sense? That's what our flesh thinks and feels. So let me, I'm going to love the place today, but I believe there's a glorious, glorious relationship that the Lord has for every one of us right here and right now. That most of us haven't even imagined. That's really what that Keswick teaching was about. Like all movements, if things get a little weird and people overemphasize some things and others, I get that. That's true of every movement. But I think there's a life that's real. I encourage you to read the biography of somebody like Hudson Taylor and his missionary work, amen. But I'm talking about his relationship with the Lord. He talks about an exchange life. He talks about what the old timers would call a crisis experience, like a day when everything changed, and a relationship we can step into with God, where, like Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, yet I live. Not I, Christ lives in me. And again, I'm just telling you my story of a few weeks ago. I just started looking at this and going, like, is that really possible? Is it possible to live in such a place of glorious rest and peace? Is it possible to live in a place where, come on, it's not us that fights sin, it's His Spirit in us that does that, where we live in perfect love, joy, peace, all of those things? Wouldn't you love to experience that? Come on, I want to challenge you. That's the life Jesus came to give. Come on, let's read John 15 together today. Jesus begins John 15 by saying, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken unto you. Verse 4, He says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. They gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so will you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, I also love you. Abide in my love. And of course, we can keep reading there, but hallelujah. Come on, just go on a little journey with me today. How did Jesus live? How did Jesus live for 30 years before his ministry? Jesus didn't do any miracles. In a sense, Jesus was born of the Spirit. Would you agree? He was an evangelical. No, I'm kidding. Do you remember Mary's like, okay, like, be unto me. I receive this, but how does it work? Because I don't know a man. The angel Gabriel said, the power of the Almighty, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. Jesus was born of the Spirit. And for, if you will, for 30 years, Jesus lived as the Son of God. He wasn't what we might call filled, empowered, baptized in the Holy Spirit. That was for ministry. You'll receive power and you'll be witnesses. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, what Jesus received in the River Jordan, what the disciples received at Pentecost, that's actually about ministry. That's Jesus stands up in Luke 4 after being baptized in the Spirit and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? To preach good news to the poor, to open the eyes of the blind, to set at liberty those who are bruised. The anointing is God on you for others. Yeah, it's for other people. God doesn't baptize you in the Holy Spirit so you can get a goosebump. Ooh, felt something good. It's to do. But for 30 years, Jesus is born of God. He's the Son of God in perfect relationship with the Lord. He is completely righteous. He lives by faith. You say, how do you know that? Because when he's baptized, the Father says, you are my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. So Jesus is born of God. He's in relationship with God, not baptized, anointed for ministry. And he's walking, though, in perfect, unbroken, glorious, abiding fellowship with his Father. He says it in John 10, verse 30. He says, I and my Father are one. Do we get that? He's always in this place. He never has that perspective like, my Father who art in heaven. He says, your Father who art in heaven. You pray this. He's like, I am my Father. Well, what? Jesus, even when he's ministering, he goes around saying, I can of my own self do nothing. And then he does everything. He says, I only do that which I see the Father do. I only say that which I hear the Father say. He's living in perfect, glorious, unbroken fellowship. He says, I work, but my Father works in me. Yeah. In a sense, it's like he could have said, I don't want to put words in Jesus' mouth. Jesus could have said, like, the Father is the vine and I am the branch in this thing. It's his life flowing through me. Come on, I'm careful. I'm not trying to add to scripture here. I want you to use your imagination. I think Jesus was the most unrushed person the world has ever seen. Even when his best friend Lazarus died, he's like, let's hang out 3 more days here. I going to love it. They gather to throw him off a cliff, and he like parts the Red Sea like Bruce Almighty. You know, just like, okay, the Superman. He's like, nobody could ruffle his feather. He's living in perfect, unbroken fellowship with the Father. Could have Jesus sinned? Yes, because he was tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. And Satan tempted him in the desert. You know, if you be the Son of God, tempt. But did Jesus struggle with sin? Come on, help me. I know the Bible. Did Jesus get up every morning and go like, ooh, those Pharisees want to choke them? Did Jesus say, oh my God, the offering basket today, Judas has been at it again? Did Jesus come out of synagogue when he's 15 and go like, oh Lord, those girls are really cute there? And like, did Jesus, I think Jesus lived this glorious, abiding life where the life of heaven is flowing in him and through him. I don't think he's striving. And he said in Matthew 11, come to me, you who are weary, you're tired, you're burned out. He said, I will give you rest. And then he said, learn of me. Look how I live. I'm meek, I'm lowly of heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Hallelujah. Do you know, I came to the conclusion, I think in the month of August, that I don't think I'd ever really experience rest like I experienced it. I don't think I know anybody else. Like, we are so busy, so me, all the time. I actually realized how little rest there was in my relationship with the Lord. And I think he calls us to, here's what I want you to see today. He calls us to live out the same life he lived. Jesus didn't come as our example. Look at me, learn of me, do what I do. There's a piece of that, amen. He came and he lived a life, and then he gave up that life. He was cut off from the Father. My God, why have you abandoned me? The branch was cut off. He was cut off in his generation. Why? So I could be grafted in and you could be grafted in. And that life he lived, that fellowship, we've been called into the fellowship of his Son. And he offers us that same relationship right now, not bye-bye pie in the sky when we die, but right now. And I think Jesus lived in, come on, he was here on the earth, but he's living in that total place of unbroken rest and fellowship. Can you see that? How's it going for you? Can I suggest what most of us do, what I have often done, and I probably still will at times, is we come to Jesus with nothing. No, we don't have anything to bring to the equation. Just as I am without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me, and that you bid me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Nothing in my hand I bring. We don't bring anything to salvation. It is 100% Jesus. I mean, I believe we have a choice. He's already chosen us. And in a sense, all we do is we say yes to his yes. Have you ever got, please don't do this, but like one of these credit cards through the, you've been pre-approved for 40 years of debt. We've already approved. Just call this number and activate the fact you've been pre-approved for salvation. You need to activate it in that sense, but all you do is say yes and jump off yourself into the, you take what Kierkegaard called a leap of faith, yeah? Not a, like a leap to faith. You leap from yourself to Jesus and you're born again. You don't know anything, you don't understand anything, and you didn't bring anything with you. And all of us got born again that way. And I think so often we begin walking a Christian life where we try to enter into a partnership with God where we bring something to the table. Where we say, Lord, it's nothing but the blood of Jesus, but you want me to pray and you want me to tithe and you want me to witness and you want me to do this. And I would lovingly suggest to you, if we could look, or if God could give us the vision to look at our own lives, we'd see at times how little we're actually believing he will do the work and how much we are bringing to the table and we are trying to get our Christian lives to work. Not you guys, just the Baptist church down the road. Come on, isn't that true? I had to come to a horrible revelation in August. And again, this is me, not you, but I prayed a horrible prayer. I actually said, Lord, how much of what I do, like in ministry, I mean, I'm a really dedicated person. I'm always thinking about church and ministry. It's like, I'm like a one-track pony in a way, and it's not like I don't close off on Sunday. I'm always thinking about this stuff and love it. It's my life and my heart. But so often, it's me doing it. You're all nodding. Thank you, Lord. He figured it out. So often it's like we're like Cain coming to the Lord with, you know, the sweat. Like, here's the vegetables I grew. I grew that turnip, Jesus. Are you impressed? I did this. Here's where we're like a cat bringing a dead bird into the lounge and plopping it at your feet and get a dog, much less. And saying, like, you know, Jesus going like, I love you, but like, no thanks. Come on, I think so much of our Christian life is what we do and is not abiding. And again, I had to come to a conclusion I don't really like, but I think it's biblical, and I'd rather realize it earlier than later. I think at times we can bear fruit that is fruit and is real, but it's not the fruit he's bearing in us. I mean, Cain did bring fruit to the Lord, but it wasn't like the fruit like Abel did in that sense. And I think so often we can work for Jesus. Could I lovingly suggest to you, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. I think the church in America, and I'm not trying to be critical, but we live in America, and I'm proud to be an American. So, but the church in America has shown America what we can do. I think America looks at the church and says, okay, we've figured out pretty much who you are and what you, we've shown the world what we can do. And I think a lot of people are not that impressed. Or we're good. You know, we can have our programs and we can raise some money and do things and help people and do all the. I think God wants to show America what he can do. I think the Lord is actually saying, like, I love you, church, but I'm not that impressed with all the things you do. And I, again, I'm not talking about being lazy or inactive, but I actually think it's only when we rest, when we abide in him, that we will bring forth fruit. I think that's how Jesus lived. Come on, I'm all over the place today, but that's okay. We were in New Canaan yesterday and heard a great testimony. Remember the lady? I won't mention her name, but it was just a supernatural testimony. And if you're watching, it was really great. It was about a Hindu lady, you know, background so far from the gospel, and how God, you know, supernaturally sent probably an angel to speak to her, and then, you know, some medical diagnosis and like some doctor. I think this doctor must have been an angel, because the doctor said, "Oh, it'll be nothing. You won't." You know, just, and how God supernaturally led somebody to him. You know, guys, we don't have to market God to anybody and have some big campaign. All we've got to do is follow his leading, his guiding. He's got the right people for you to lead to Jesus. You know, what have we got to do in this church? We've got to be abiders. We've got to be abiding in him, abide in his love, and we'll bring forth fruit that he wants us to bring forth. He never called us to look at some other, oh, look at that tree down the road. Peaches, nice. I want a peach. And God says, no, you're an apple tree or whatever. All we've got to do is abide in him, let our roots go down in him, and learn of him. And let's be meek and lowly of heart and abide in our calling. So come on, I'm trying to tie these pieces together today. But I think the Lord wants to set us free from our Christian lives that are not working. I think he wants to set us free from us trying to bring anything to the table. I think he's literally saying, I want you to learn to abide in me, and my life is going to flow in you, my life is going to flow through you, and you don't really have any work to do. What is the work? What must we do that we might work the works of God? This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom God has sent. That we actually come back to that place of simply believing. So let me ask and answer some really simple questions as we close today. How do we abide in Jesus? We believe we're abiding in Jesus. I think I should say that again. How do we abide in Jesus? By believing we're abiding in Jesus. So often we'd come to this and like, okay, what do I need to do? I'm working on this. We've actually got to stop. We've got to rest. We've got to cease from our own labor. He who believes has entered into rest and has ceased from his own labors, the writer to the Hebrews says. And what we've got to do is actually realize that we are, come on, say this with me. I am abiding in Christ. You are. God took you and he grafted you. He put you in. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And in the spirit, your spirit, soul, and body, right now, your spirit is perfectly abiding in Jesus. There's no work to do. You don't need to work it up. You're in. You are perfectly abiding in him right now. That's your spirit. One day when Jesus comes or calls, if you will, at his return, he's going to, literally our bodies will be glorified. Jesus is the firstborn amongst many brethren. Jesus is like the prototype, the Joseph who goes before his brethren and makes a way. Right now, Jesus has got a glorified body. Jesus can go to Ireland without an air ticket. Hallelujah, like that, boom, just he's glorified in his body. We are, we'll be there soon. Right now, we're abiding in our spirit. Our bodies, take care of them, put good gasoline in, give them sleep and rest and exercise. But your body is subject to corruption. He's going to raise it from the dead in the likeness of Jesus one day soon. Our challenge is to learn to abide in our soul. I will give you rest for your soul. Most of what happens to our soul is we, you know, your spirit can be abiding in the Lord and your soul can be full of all kind of strife, worry, pride, unforgiveness, you know, look at your neighbor with one of those, he's talking about you looks. It's a joke, it's a joke. Now look back and no, he's talking about, no, I'm talking about me, okay? You know, all of us, we're kind of like vacuum cleaners. We tend to just pick up all the things around us. And I tell you, God made your soul. God, there's a place where we can learn to abide in our soul. There's a place we can bring our soul into perfect rest. There's a place we can allow our spirit, the life of Jesus who's in our spirit, to flow in and flow out and dominate, if you will, our soul. And that's really what I want to explore with you this month. How do we abide in our spirit? There's no work to do. We're already there. What we've got to learn and what we've got to practice. Say practice. How many of you like practice? You know, I tell musicians, get a metronome. Like, practice. Do you know, the more we practice, we've been saved by Jesus, I've got his life. He goes, amen. Now, he says, be a disciple. We love the word disciple. It's so religious. Practice the life of Jesus. You've got the, Paul says in Romans 8, you are not in the flesh, you are in the spirit. And then Galatians 5, he says, so walk in the spirit. You are in the spirit, so walk in the spirit. Watchman Nee wrote a book years ago, Sit, Walk, Stand. He's like, we've got a seated place in Christ, seated in a heavenly place. Now we've got to walk these things out. But I thought you said we've got it all, Graham. Well, we do have it. I'm seated in heavenly places. I'm seated in his righteousness. Now I've got to learn to walk those things out. And when Satan comes to stop me, having done all to stand, I stand against him. We have a seated relationship with the Lord, a walking out relationship in this world, and a standing relationship against the enemy. And I think what we've got to learn to do in this, I'll give you a few practicals in a moment to close, is we've got to learn to abide in our soul. How do we do that? Let me give you two or three keys and we'll eat tacos downstairs. I'm joking. Come on, I actually want you to just take that as a faith place. I'm abiding in the Lord. The danger is we come to a subject like this and we go, oh, that's great for a Hudson Taylor, that's great, but I'm not abiding in the Lord. And it's like we proclaim that over our lives. There's something glorious about saying, Lord, I'm abiding in you. I am abiding. If you get up every day, it's not like, oh, I'm going to try to. And thank you, Lord, I'm abiding in you right now. I am abiding. You are the vine and the branches. Lord, I thank you as I walk through this day. You're flowing in me. You're flowing through me. Lord, I'm going to bear fruit for you this day. More is going to happen by accident this day than used to happen on purpose. Because, Lord, you're in me. I'm connected with you. Man, that's a really great key to, I'm not just saying say it 1,000 times with your mouth and heart, but it, actually come into the Lord and say, Lord, thank you. I am abiding. I am connected with you. Yeah. Now, maybe we're all different, but can I ask you this week, try this. This has really changed my spiritual life. I've never really done this consistently until about a couple of months ago. But I've been practicing this every day. I've just come in before the Lord and sit in there quietly. I'm not doing anything. And I know it's great to pray in tongues and pray for the president and, you know, a million, like, amen. But do you know some of those are secondary? Can I really suggest sometimes come before the Lord. In Exodus 25, the Lord said to Moses, come up the mountain and be there. Because when we're abiding, there's no work to do. And I encourage you sometimes just sit in that abiding place. Now again, I just want to set this down on the recording because come back and listen to this and we should talk about this on that chat thing. But it's funny, I've been doing a whole bunch of fasting recently and it's like I'm experimenting. I'm noticing what happens, like my body comes, oh, we got to eat, we're going to die. When I actually take a minute, actually, we're not going to die. Actually, the pain level is about 1 out of 10. But sometimes your flesh is like a spoiled 2-year-old. Turn to your neighbor and nod. No. Can anybody relate to that? And sometimes I've just been learning that, again, I'm sure you guys know it much better than I do, really. But I've been learning, like, actually, no, I can fast for a whole bunch of hours and just, like, okay, there's a little bit of, like, background, but it's okay. It's not actually, it's so bad, Rocky would say. And I'm not going to be, I tell you, if you try and bring your body and your soul under subjection to your spirit, that 2-year-old will kick in. Your body will tell you, you've got to witness somebody, Martha will take over, the spirit of Martha will invade you. Make another sandwich for Jesus. Jesus doesn't like sandwiches. But my point is, sometimes you've got to bring your own body and your own soul, gird up the loins of your mind. You know, the Roman soldiers would wear it would look like a skirt to us, all these leather strips they'd wear, it was part of the garment. But when they go into battle, they'd take them and tuck them under their belt so they wouldn't trip on them. Sometimes you've got to gird up all of those crazy, you know, thoughts, just tie them into place and like, we'll deal with that later. I'm going to be before the Lord. Yeah. I'll finish with this. I encourage you to do this. I'm going to put out a list probably later today or tomorrow on that chat thing we're doing. I've been creating my own list of abiding scriptures. And I get it. You can go and chat GPT and tell it to give you, but my point is sometimes as you read in the Bible, take the scriptures that speak to your soul and write them down. And then learn to sit before the Lord and sit in those scriptures and hear him saying them to you. Jesus said, I am the living bread come down from heaven. And we've got to, bread is wonderful. I mean, I have a home in France. I can talk to you about bread. But you don't admire bread. You eat it. And I tell you guys, don't mess with me theologically, but this, it's possible to read the Bible and not get bread. And read it, you do your quota, and you're I'm not against those things, it's good. Sometimes we feed our mind, and that's good. We should study and show ourselves approved. But at times, you've got to come daily, give us this day our daily bread. And say, Lord, while I want to study and learn and know all the scriptures and the principles, I want you to feed my soul. And I think sometimes taking one verse a day and sitting in it and just, come on, nearly done it. But what do you do with bread? You chew it. Mm-hmm. Unless it's American bread. I'm joking. You trash it. No, if you get French bread's great, but you got to eat it on the day you get it. If you try and eat it 2 days later, you'll break a tooth. It's a bit like manna. It's only good on the day it arrives, yeah. Do you know, guys, here's my point. You can tie a scripture on your fridge door. Oh, it's wonderful scripture. No, take it, put it in your mouth and chew on it. He is the bread of life. Jesus said, the words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. I'm not sure what that means, Lord, but it's good. Your word is spirit. It's releasing spirit and life into me. Thank you, Lord. You said, as because I, come on, I'm the resurrection and the life. Yeah. As the Father sent me, so you take those verses and tune them. And as you do that, the life of God in them will be imparted to you. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, I'm going to close this down. We're going to continue on Wednesday night in this theme. We've got different people teaching every Wednesday on this. And I encourage you, go on that journey and think about, Lord, am I really abiding in you? I think we've got to learn, we've got to practice that when life and pressure and stress is coming, we say, stop, and we come back to that secret place. And we thank you, Lord, you're there all the time. Thank you, Jesus, I love you. We come back and we keep the line open. Come on, let's pray together as we close. Lord, I just thank you. Thank you for everybody here. I thank you. Thank you for the life you gave up at Calvary and the life you want us to live and experience right now. And Father, forgive us when so often we live a substandard Christian life. We live just an average Christian life instead of the life of heaven. And Lord, I pray even for this 31 days, take us on a journey into your life. We don't want a Christian life. We want the life of Christ. We want you to live in us, live through us, live as part of us. And Lord, we believe that you'll do that. I thank you. You said if we'll abide in your word, if your word about abiding will abide in us, Lord, you'll take us into that experience. So Father, we just bless you today in Jesus' name. Hey guys, we're going to have our prayer team out here in a moment, and if you'd like some prayer, if you'd like some prophetic ministry, if you want to respond to some of the things we've been talking about today, I really encourage you to come out and get some prayer. We're going to have food, coffee, refreshments in the cafe in a few moments, and I think we're doing a Q&A with Tanya. Kim's going to have the new members class there. If anybody wants to join that in the conference room upstairs in about 10 minutes. If you need to run, we bless you guys. Let me just say, it's great to have Stuart here. Hi, Stuart. And it's a real blessing to have you here. We send our love to his family and children. And bless you guys. Have a wonderful week if you need to run, in Jesus' name. If anybody's interested in coming to Otis, I'll be over there this afternoon as well. So bless you.